As long as it can record, it's considered part of the chevra.
Guys, I have crushed all these
comments. You should set this up. We should have like a filter thing. Like you should give all our passwords for filters on our phone.
You can approach me privately. I have done that with somebody in the past. No, I have done it with Talmidim in the past. If anybody wants to, you know, especially the iPhone, I don't know how you do it on an Android, but on an iPhone there are, you know, there, what do you call them? The parental things, whatever you call them, I forgot. Restrictions. The restrictions. You can have a code for restrictions. If anybody is feeling that they want to do that, approach me privately, and I can, you know, I can set the code for the restrictions, whatever. I have done it for guys in the past. It's very helpful, you know, if that's helpful to you. So, certainly I don't impose things like that. Okay. Here we go. Everyone's going to have to doodle today. It's crazy, you know? It's crazy stuff. All right. Here we go. Mishnah, Yitzesim Ebeiz. Machatzeles Kanim Gidoyla. Machatzeles means a mat. A mat. Kanim are some kind of sticks or reeds. Gidoyla, and it is very large. Large here does not refer to the reeds necessarily or the sticks. It refers to the mat size. So we're dealing Machatzeles mat. Kanim, some sort of sticks or reeds. Gidoyla, which is very large. So the idea here is that the truth of the matter is it could probably go either way. What I mean to say is if gedola goes on the size of the mat or the size of the stick, it really has to do with the mat size. But the concept behind it is everyone will agree that if you have a mat that the whole wide world is using to sit on or to lay on or whatever, that for sure is susceptible to tumah, it's makabel tumah, and you're not allowed to use it for schach. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that we must be talking about some kind of mat that could go either way. And there's something about it that lends itself to one direction over the other. And that's what the whole sugya is about. And what we're not going to get involved in, which we should, is what defines the mat. It's not a kli. Right, we talked in the past about food. Food is susceptible to tumah. Here you have a fascinating concept of something which would be susceptible to tumah if it's used for sitting. But people don't only use them to sit. They use them for schach and for other things. Should we tell them?
That everyone has put their phone.
No chance.
Oh, someone texted you already?
I see all the phones on the desk.
No, it's only if you want it.
Yeah,
it's optional.
He has two phones.
Huh? So should we give him like more points off? No. So what's interesting is when does the mat become something that's susceptible to tumah? Because there's no diff. What? So that would be food, right? Food, once it's rinsed off, and you want it to be rinsed off, so then it becomes susceptible to tumah. What's so fascinating about this thing that we're dealing with on the mat is that there's nothing different between this mat and that mat. So when does something become susceptible to tumah? Does it go by the person that made it? Does it go by the person that uses it? Does it go by the way it's typically used in your locale? So these are all possibilities, but something is going to define this mat as a mat that's for sitting, and otherwise it would be defined as a mat that's used for schach. Now how much does it have to do with what you use it for, what your kavana is? So these are all huge question marks. The sugya that we're dealing with doesn't really deal with it exactly in that way. The way that the Gemara generally works is it has a Mishnah and it tries to draw out, almost like suck out, like a vampire, as much information as it possibly can from the Mishnah itself. So that's why the Gemara is going to start off by just making diukim. What's the implication over here? And often you'll have, as in our case, contradictions in implication, which is a logical, very big problem logically. So that's what the Gemara is going to start to address in a minute. But in the back of your mind, you should be pondering and wondering, like, what, this is a strange thing. If you have an object and it can become a kli by making a bowl shape out of it, you hollow it out, I got it. But since when do you have something? It just depends on how it's used. It's exactly the same object. But apparently some mats are for sitting and some mats are not for sitting. Okay, well then whichever mats are for sitting are a problem. Whichever mats are not are fine. But, so what does the Mishnah do with it? The Mishnah says, well, it seems to depend. And the sense you get from the Mishnah in the beginning is it depends on basically what it's made or used for. So this case, machatzeles kanim gedola, means it's very large. Either because the whole thing is very big, so it's not used, too big for a typical person to sit on. Because a large mat, you're not going to put it into your house. It's like an individual to sit on, like a yoga mat. So that a person would sit on. But a huge mat, apparently, we're not typically used as carpet in houses. So what would you use it for? The answer is large ones used for stock or for some sort of covering, for a shade. In addition, the fact that it's made out of kanim is that it's not something that's very thin and woven and comfortable to sit on. So that right away gives you the impression that these are not made for sitting. But apparently, it theoretically could lend itself to sitting. They're not logs or something like that. It would be uncomfortable or whatever it is. Thanks. So that's how the Mishnah begins. If you have one of these mats and it's very large, asa'a lishchiva, if it's made for sitting on, mekabel es tuma, then it's mekabel tuma, vein mesachin bo, and you can't use it for schach. So you get the impression that it goes by who? Who defines the mat? What's asa'a mean?
It's used?
Made. Right? Literally translated, asa would be made. So it sounds like the Mishnah is pretty explicit. It depends on what it's made for. That's what the Mishnah sounds like. What if there was no specific intention by the maker? What if he's just producing mats and he says, I don't know, people use real kinds of things?
It's utility, mats.
Yeah.
Use it at your wish.
So then, is it different? So you get the impression from the Mishnah that asa'a means it all goes by the intention of the maker. So if it's made for shiva, for sitting, then it's a problem. But if it's made for nothing specific, then what?
It's so arbitrary, it seems
like. Okay, but diukim from the Mishnah. Diukim. So if it's made for shiva, for sitting, then it's no good. But if it's not made for anything specifically, then what's the implication? Does it have to be made specifically for the purpose of schach? Sounds like not. Because it says, asa l'shchiva pasul. If it's made for sitting, it's a problem. So if it's not made specifically for sitting, sounds like it's fine. Right? Okay. L'sichuch, if it's made for schach, mesach rinba, v'en mekabel es tuma, then you can use it for schach, and it's not mekabel tuma. That's what you call a contradiction and implication. Because if it's made for schach, you can use it. What if it was made for nothing specific? Sounds like you can't. So right away, the Mishnah set us up for an inherent contradiction. Does anyone hear the contradiction? Should I repeat it?
Yeah?
You want me to put it on one of the phones over here? Yeah, I'll call you. I'll call you. Mine's much cooler. Huawei beats Apple Watch any day. Anyway, so...
It's connected to his phone.
I'm well aware of these things, don't worry. The idea is that the Mishnah has an inherent contradiction. The inherent contradiction is a logical principle. Logical principle is what we call, in our Gemara terms, a diuk. Diuk means an extrapolation, or deriving an implication. So you have a phrase. The phrase is, if it's made for sitting, no good. Implication. If it's not made for sitting, it's good. Made for sitting, no good. Okay, if it's not made for sitting, it is good. Does it have to be made for schach? No, it just can't be made for sitting. That's the first line of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah contradicts it by implication. Because it says, if it's made for schach, you can use it. Implication. If it's not made specifically for schach, you can't use it. But we just said from the Reisha that if it's made for sitting, it's no good. Implying if it's not made specifically for sitting, it's fine. So there are direct contradictions in the implication between the first and second phrases of the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says, Achas ketana v'achas gedola. It doesn't... Okay, so what size mat are we talking about so far in the Mishnah? Only says gedola. Machatel is kanim gedola. There's no mention of kitana. So, just as a betting man, we'll just take a bet. What would you think about a small mat? The big mat, it depends on what it's made for. A small mat? Why is it not mentioned? It doesn't depend.
Because it's never going to be used for schach.
It's not typically used for schach, right?
It's going to be usually made for sitting.
Usually made for sitting. So that would be assumption, right? Small mats off the bat are not an issue because they're made for sitting, so you're stuck. So that also would be teaching us something, which is that your kavana apparently doesn't change it. So we are deriving a lot of information. We'll have to see if we're right. But we are deriving a lot of information so far. So it sounds like according to what we'll call the Tanakhama, the ratio of the Mishnah. You guys want to open the door, or is it boiling hot in here? Are we good?
Yeah, I'm
down. You want to check the weather? Anyway, so that is the implication so far, is that the ratio is only seemingly talking about large mats. Because by large mats, you could go either way. And now I have a contradiction in the implication. But it sounds like if it's a small mat, you can't do anything about it. You're just stuck because small mats are made for sitting, and you can't change that. That's what it sounds like. Fair enough? We all together?
Yeah.
If you want to fight, fight. Did I ever tell you this before? Did I say the name of the time server? I was. So you guys, most of you don't know him, but Shmuel Maybrook, who used to be on the Ram of BMP until this year, so he had a. He was like the Rosh Kolol of a Kolol in Keter Torah in Tinek. And so in the summertime, for a few years, I was part of that Kolol. We still learned together and have a great time. And one time, you know, for whatever reason, Rusher Weiss likes Tinek, you know? He likes the people in Tinek. So he came, and he spoke to our Kolol, to our little cover. And he said, one of the things that we say in davening every day is that Talmid Chachamim are Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. You know this? They increase peace in the world. And then it quotes a pasuk. Do you remember this? Okay, what's the song?
What?
Yeah. Anybody else know this? So what is? So what's the proof text? How do you know that Talmid Chachamim increase peace in the world? Because it says, say it again. Sing it if you need to. L'chol banayich l'chumidei Hashem. Rav Shalom Bonayach. Rav Shalom Bonayach means that your bonim, your children, Rav Shalom, are making a lot of peace. Al Tikrei, don't read it as Bonayach, Ella, rather as Bonayach. Because Bonayach means, what's Boneh? The builders. So construction workers make peace in the world. What does that have to do with anything? And then the Brisa then doesn't explain itself. So it's interesting, Chazal sometimes have an assumption behind a term that they're using. Here, they're assuming that builders of the world refer to Talmidei Chachamim. And it doesn't prove that. So you need to work that out. But the text, the proof text of that Braisa, whatever it is over there, is saying that Talmidei Chachamim amarbim shalom ba'olam, increase peace in the world, because of Pasuk says so, v'rav shalom bonayich, that the bonayich are increasing peace in the world. Okay? Interesting. So Rav Asher Weiss said, how? Why? Because Talmid Chacham are just nice guys. They learn a lot of Torah. Like, what is the pshat in that? He quoted Chassam Sofer that I haven't seen inside. But he said, Chassam Sofer says, everyone here has heard of the law of conservation of energy. Right? Neither lost nor destroyed. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Good. You guys in Sims never heard of this? There's a law of conservation of war. Yes, there's a law of conservation of war. Now, I didn't know that. But the Chassam Sofer suggests that there's a certain koach in the world called, like, fighting. Fighting. It's going to get expressed in some way. It's just a certain koach in the world. That's what he claims. So he says, Talmid Chacham are supposed to be fighting with each other. What do we call that? The Milchamta Shel Torah. The war, the battle of Torah. That Talmid Chacham aren't supposed to just say, like, you know, what do you think? What do you think? I think like this. You think like that? It's fine.
So if you're fighting more, then...
That's right. Because of the law of conservation of Mechama, so if they're fighting, Mechama Shel Torah is happening properly, so then it won't be war in the world. So you're not allowed to just accept whatever the Gemara says, whatever your Rebbe says, your Chavrusa says. You're obligated to fight! If you don't fight about it and try to come to the MS, so Rachmana Litzlan. It could end up that there's going to be a fight someplace else in some other way. So we have to make sure that we're having that proper Mechamta Shel Torah. Don't let anybody get away with anything. Anyway, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, says, Achas Kedanav Achas Gedela. It doesn't matter if it's a large mat or a small mat. If it is made for the purpose of sitting, it's makabel tuma, you cannot use it for schach. L'sichor, if it's made for schach, mesachrin bo avina makabel tuma, then you can use it for schach, and you can't, and it's not makabel tuma. So what are they arguing about? What are they arguing about? They're arguing over whether it sounds like they're only arguing over small mats, right? Large mats all goes by the maker. Small mats simply, the Chachamim say nothing to do about it. And Rabbi Elazar holds, no, it also just depends on what it was made for. Why would Chachamim not say that? Maybe it's Derabbanan, they're arguing over Din Derabbanan, maybe we're Gozer on all small mats. So it's not so clear. But that's what the Machlokis is. So the Gemara starts off, Hagufa Kasha. What does Hagufa Kasha mean? Its body is a contradiction. Hagufa, it, in and of itself, its own body. Kasha is a kasha. There's an inherent contradiction, which is what we spelled out when we started. Amrit, you said, originally you said that if it's made for sitting, it's makabel tuma, and you cannot use it for schach. Time. Why can't you use it for schach? Time, or the reason is, because you made it specifically for sitting on. Hastama. How do you translate stama?
It means anonymous.
Yeah, stam means like without any specific intent or something. Stams, it's a hard word to translate into English. We used to have Bubby Sof and Bubby Stam. That was, you know, when my mother-in-law's mother used to live with them, and we would go for Shabbos or whatever, so it would be Bubby Sof, that was the great-grandmother, and then there's Bubby, so I started calling Bubby, Bubby Stam. Bubby Sof and Bubby Stam. Bubby, she's Stam. So stam means there's no specific intent. L'sichuch. Sorry. Time does ala shriva. Hastama lesichach. So if it wasn't any specific intent for shriva, then lesichach, you can use it for schach, no problem. But hadar tani, and then it goes back and it teaches lesichach, mesachrin ba. If it's made specifically for schach, you can use it. Ve'ena mekabel estuma. And then it's not mekabel tuma. Time does ala lesichach. The reason is because you made it specifically for schach. Hastama. So if there was no specific intention in the making of it, lesriva. So you have to assume it's for shriva. And then it's makabel tuma. So you can't have it both ways. What's the case of stam, when there's no specific intention, is a contradiction between the first two phrases of the Mishnah. That's the kasha of the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara answers, ha, this, lo kasha, is not a question. Kan begedoyla, kan beketana. The first one's talking about a large mat, the second one's talking about a small mat. That's not what we would have said in a million years reading this Mishnah. Because the Mishnah starts off saying, large mats, it depends what they're made for. Right? But because it's an inherent contradiction, the Gemara has a suggestion, which is not, doesn't fit into the words well, that if it's a large mat, then it's assumed that it's for schach, and you have to actually make it for the purpose of sitting. But if it's not specifically for sitting, so then it's assumed that it's schach, or at least it can be used for schach. If it's a small mat, it's the reverse. The assumption is that it's for sitting, so until it's made for the purpose of schach, it's no good. At least it makes sense, it just doesn't fit into the words of the Mishnah very well. So then there's a machlokes, what the girsa is supposed to be. The parentheses say, Bishlam and the Rabbanon, and it's good according to the Rabbanon, like Kasha. So then you'll say, okay, even though it doesn't fit into the words well, but it makes sense. But Rabbi Eliezer, Kasha. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't say this. Why not? This is not as we learn in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Eliezer says, Achaz Ketan of Achaz Gedola. He says explicitly, it doesn't matter if it's a big one or it's a small one. It simply depends on what you made it for. If it was made specifically for sitting, then it's a problem. So it doesn't work according to what he's arguing with. Okay, so ema seifa. Take a look at the seifa. Asal lesichach mesachachin ba ve'ena mekabel estuma. If you made it for schach, you can use it for schach. Time it does. Hastama l'shchiva. So how do you? Okay, what's the kasha of the Gemara? Does anybody? What's the kasha of the Gemara at this point? The Gemara says. The Gemara says, if you want to. If you want to split it according to the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, we can split it fine. Because it doesn't fit into the word so well, but he never mentioned anything other than Gedola in his first statement. So in his second statement, we'll sneak in, but if it's a small cat, then it depends in the opposite direction. But Rabbi Eliezer himself says, I don't care if it's larger or if it's small, it simply depends on what it's made for. But wait a minute, but that's a contradiction in terms by him also. Because if it goes by specific your kavanas, then the neutral one should be fine. And if it doesn't, it's the same kashya Rabbi Eliezer. Does everyone understand why this? Should I explain that better? Or it's the same kasha. In other words, the Gemara asked on the Rabbanan, and so it's a contradiction in implications, like we said. So the way you resolve the contradiction implications is saying because one's talking about large mats and one's talking about small mats. So of course it's a contradiction implications because they're different types of mats. The default is different. Default of a large mat is schach. So it has to be made specifically for sitting to be a problem. The default of small mats is sitting. So it has to be specifically for schach to become okay. But Rabbi Eliezer says, it all depends. All mats are the same. That's what he says. If it's made for sitting, problem. If it's made for schach, it's okay. But that's a contradiction of implications, again. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have the contradiction of implications, and you can't say one's talking about large mats and small mats, because he says it's all the same. So how do you resolve the problem within Rabbi Eliezer? That's probably not the pshat in the whole Mishnah, says the Gemara. So four lines up from the bottom. Ela Amar Rava. So Rava had a different resolution. V'gedoyla kuliyama le'pligi. When it's a big mat, the whole world doesn't disagree, meaning in normal English, everyone agrees. D'stama le'sichuch. That the default is a large mat is for schach. Even Rabbi Eliezer is willing to say that. And therefore, the only thing that would be a problem for a large mat is specifically, it was made specifically for sitting. It says on the label, for sitting only. You know what I mean? It was made for a sitting mat. Keep ligi, what are they arguing about? Bekitana. They're only arguing over a small mat. Tanakama sovar, Tanakama the Mishnah holds, stam kitana l'shchiva, that a regular mat, that's a small mat, is default is for sitting. So it's not until you specifically make it for schach that it's okay. Rabbi Eliezer, apparently held stam kitana nami lasichuch. That a mat, the default is it's also for schach. It's hard to believe. But I think what you have to say in the Gemara is that we're talking about mats that are not your typical sitting mats. Everyone's going to have to agree that if it says yoga mat on it, that this is for sitting. It has to be the type of mat that could go either way. It could go either way. But you have to ask yourself, what are they arguing about? Let me just take a step back for one second. The Gemara has loads of the machlokas all over the place, right? So you always have to ask yourself, what are they arguing about? Sometimes, like in this case, it's a funny argument. Because what are they arguing about? What people use it for? What it's made for? Like, so go do some statistical analysis and figure it out. So certainly in the brisker mahalach of learning Gemara, that's never how you learn a Gemara. Gemara will never have a machlokas in what we call mitzius. What's maze mitziut? In reality. In something that you can just figure out by testing it. So go test it. You don't know? Figure it out. The Gemara's machlokas is always over how to look at it. Because it could go either way, so then what does the definition go by? Does the definition go by what people are using it for? Does the definition go by what people are making it for? So that would be my inclination in learning this Gemara. That everyone knows that these type of mats are made for sitting on. But maybe the machlokas here is, but since most people are using them for schach, despite the fact that that's not what they were made for, they become defined that way based on people's usage. And the chachamim say, absolutely not. That's what they're made for, and it doesn't make a difference what people are using it for. But the reality, the statistics are the same. The question is, what is going to give the mat its definition vis-a-vis Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara? That's what I would be tempted to say to understand the Gemara. Because otherwise, what's the machlokas? You don't know what people are making it for? Well, go ask them. You don't know what people are using it for? Well, go find out. Go do a survey. The answer is, both are happening simultaneously, and everyone agrees to all that. And the question is, what defines the mat in terms of being a sitting mat? What people are using it for? Or what it was made for? Maybe that's exactly the machlokas. Perhaps. But you hear what I'm doing? I'm taking the machlokas away from being a machlokas that you should be able to resolve statistically or by getting by doing a survey, and making it into a machlokas over something more definitional in nature. How do you define a sitting mat or a schach mat? Is it defined by the way it was, what it was produced for, or what it's used for? Or maybe there's another way to evaluate it, but it becomes a question of definitions, not a question of, well, you know, what's the statistic? Or take a survey. So that's what the Gemara suggests at this point, according to Rava, is that Rava says they're arguing over small mats, because everyone agrees big mats, the default is for schach. Defaults. So until a big mat is made specifically, is, you know, labeled as yoga mat or something, or that's what people are using it for, or whatever, so it's assumed it to be for schach, it's no problem. The small mats are the issue. The small mats, the question is, do we assume that you can use them for schach, or do we assume that you cannot? Tanakama sover stam kitana l'shriva. Tanakama holds that a regular small mat is assumed, the default is it's for sitting. Rabbi Eliezer sover stam kitana nami l'sichuch, that a stam small one is for schach, which sounds crazy because people sit on small mats, they don't use them for schach. But apparently, you know, people were using them for schach or something like that. You have to explain that somehow, and then you can explain the machlok is different. Okay, machika amar. So this is what is going on, this is what it is saying. Machatelas akanim gidoyla. A large mat, a salishchiva, once it's made specifically for sitting, mekabeles tuma, it's mekabel tuma, and you cannot use it. Time with a salishchiva. The reason is because it was made specifically for sitting. Hastam anasikimi, sha'asa l'sichuch. But if it was made for no specific reason, it was not made for sitting specifically, it was made stam, so then it's nasa, it's made kimish asa l'sichuch, as if it was made for schach, because it wasn't. It was just whatever you want, do it. Feel free. And then mesachrin, but you can use it for schach. The parentheses, again, this is a girsa question with the proper text of the Gemara. But the parentheses say, kitana, if it's a small one, then asa l'sichuch mesachrin bo. If it's made specifically for schach, say the Rabban on the Tanakama, then you can use it for schach. Time of the asa l'sichuch, the reason is because it was made specifically for schach. Astama, but if it was not specifically for anything, nasa kimisha asa l'shchiva, then the default is it was made for sitting. And you cannot use it for schach. But also Rabbi Eliezer lemeim, Rabbi Eliezer is coming along to say, achas ketana v'achas gedoyla. It doesn't matter if it's a small mat or a big mat. Pay attention to the order of the words. It doesn't matter if it's a small one or a big one. Stam akshera l'sichach. Stam, it's kosher for schach. Doesn't matter if it was a small one or a big one. Now, what's the bigger chiddush? The bigger ones, the small ones, or the bigger ones? What's a bigger chiddush you can use it for schach? Big mats or small mats?
Small
mats, right? Because small mats, generally, we would all assume, are for sitting. So, how, if you were Rabbi Eliezer and you were saying it doesn't make a difference if it's this or this, it's all the same. You can use it for schach until it was specifically made for sitting. Whether it is, which one would you say first? Do you have an opinion about that? I don't care if it's this or even this. Isn't that how we usually talk? I don't care if it's this or even this.
I don't care if it's big or small.
You would say big first?
Big first.
Anyone want to take a vote? What do you guys think? Well, can we give a mushel for it? What would be a case where this would come up in regular conversation? There's something that they're not sure what people use it for. Can anybody come up with a mushel? What would be an example? What's something that people use for a different thing? Okay, so say it. Someone, come up with something. I don't care if it's this or this. At the end of the day, it all depends. I don't care what people make it for. It all depends on...
I'll do the work either if it's night or day.
But then you need like a bigger kid. All right, whatever. So, but that's what it says. So I'm really Abaye. So Abaye says, if you're right that Rabbi Yez is responding to the small mat, the big mat everyone agrees to. But he's saying, even a small mat depends on whatever... Even a small mat has to have specific kavana for sitting, because the default is for schach. Even a small mat, the default is schach. That's what he's saying. Rabbi Eliezer, remember, achas ketana v'achas gedoyla. The way he says it is, I don't care if it's a small one or a big one. No. You say, achas gedoyla, achas ketana mivoyle. You say, I don't care if it's big or it's small. It's all the same. Because you start off with the one that everyone agrees to. Everyone agrees if it's a big one, the default is it's for schach. So you say, I don't care if it's big or even if it's a small one. It's the same as the big. So you start off with the one that everyone agrees to, and then you say, and that one also is the same. If it's A or B, B is the same as A. But you don't start off with a bigger chiddush. I don't care if it's B because A is the reverse. You start off with the one that everyone agrees to. And then you say, and the B is just like what everyone agrees to. It's the same as what we were just talking about. So it doesn't sound like that's what Rabbi Elazar is arguing about, because then he should have said, achas gedoyla, achas ketana. And he says the opposite. He says, I don't care if it's ketana or gedoyla. V'oy, and furthermore, says Abaye, ki pligi, when they argue, b'gedoyla hu de pligi. I know for a fact that they don't argue over the small mats, they argue over the big mats. I know that for a fact, says Abaye. How does Abaye know that? V'Rebbe Eliezer l'chumra, and Rebbe Eliezer is coming along to give a chumra, not a kula. But you do understand that point? If Rebbe Eliezer is saying small mats are fine until they're made for sitting, is that a chumra or a kula? If Rebbe Eliezer, according to Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer is saying small mats, you can use them for schach. Until they're specifically made for sitting. Chumra or kula?
It's a
kula. Why is it a kula?
Because you're allowed to be hitting something until something else happens to it. Now it's that force.
Because now you can use all the small mats for schach. There are more small mats available for schach. It's a kula. You can use it. But the other way to look at it is Rabbi Elazar is coming to say the large mats are no good until they're made specifically for schach. That would be a huge chumrah. We don't know why.
I don't understand that.
You'd have to go back to the conversation we're having before where I was suggesting that there are plenty of people that use it for sitting or something like that. Something going on.
Then the argument's basically about sitting or not sitting.
That's what I want to argue, that the argument is going to have to be over the definition of when something becomes a mat and is makabel tuma. If it's made for one purpose but people are using it for something else, so then what does the definition go by? I have a hunch that that's really the machlokas between the two. So Abaye comes along and says, I know for a fact that the machlokas here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer is over large mats, and Rabbi Eliezer is making a chumrah. How do you know that, Abaye? So the answer is, Abaye knows that because it's about that quote of Brisa. Which means something very interesting. That generally speaking, and this is true, so this is a good fact to file away, when you have a brisa, the brisa is explaining the Mishnah. Do we know that? A lot of times the brisa comes along, it's not an independent entity. A lot of times the brisa is there to explain and say pshat in a Mishnah. So when the Gemara will quote a brisa, you'll say, well, very nice that you have a brisa, but my Mishnah says differently. The answer is no, the brisa is there, generally speaking, to explain the Mishnah. In fact, was it yesterday? We had, the Gemara said, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Mishnah was actually following a Das Yachid, because the Brisa says, Rabbi Nasan says that that's the Machlokas. So the Brisa is explaining what you have in a Mishnah. So if you want to understand a Mishnah better, you should really take a look at all the Brisas first. And then go back to the Mishnah and say, oh, what's pshat in the Mishnah based on all the information from the Brisos? And that's what Abaye is saying. So Abaye says, Desanya, as it says in the Brisa, Machateles Akanim, the gedoyla masachachinba, mats made out of these reeds. If it's a large one, you can use it for schach. Sounds like it depends on absolutely nothing. Large ones, Tanakama says, go ahead. Large mat, you're good. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Rabbi Eliezer says, it depends. Im eina makabel es tumma masachachinba. If it's not makabel tumma, then yeah, you can use it for schach. But otherwise not. So don't you see from the Brisa that they are arguing over large mats? That's a brisa. So Rava, you can't be wrong. You can't be right. According to Rava, they're only arguing over small mats. They are in agreement about big mats. So apparently Rava is wrong. El Amar of Papa, Bikitana, Kuliamalai Pligi, will reverse it in the direction of Abaye. If it's a small mat, the whole world doesn't argue, meaning everyone agrees. The Stamala Shriva, small mats are yoga mats. They're made for sitting. Ki pligi b'gedoyla, they're arguing over large mats. Tanakama sover stam gedoyla l'sichah. Tanakama holds a regular large mat is assumed to be for schach. That's what we would expect. Rabbi Eliezer Sava, Rabbi Eliezer has a huge chumra, and he holds stam gidoy lanami l'shchiva. A stam, large mat, is for sitting until it's spelled out otherwise. And what is this, if it's made for sitting that he's talking about? Which sounds like he's talking about both large mats and small mats. This is what it's saying. Stam asiya sanami l'shchiva. It's stam asiya is also for sitting. Ad the oved l'sichah gedolah, made specifically for schach. So let's just try to read this back into the Mishnah for a second. So Mishnah says, Machatzelis, can we go back to the Mishnah with me for a second? Machatzelis kanim gedolah, large mats. Asa l'shchiva mekabeles tuma. Once it's made specifically for sitting, you have a problem. So how do you read that? That's talking about small mats. Okay. Even though it doesn't say so. Rabbi Eliezer responds, Achas ketana v'achas gedoyla. Meaning, small ones and large ones are the same. In what way? They're assumed.
They be used for sitting.
Sitting. Asa l'shchiva mekabeles tuma. Wait a minute. They're only mekabel tuma when they're made. How do you explain that? So that's what the Gemara is trying to explain. Humay asa l'shchiva deka amar. So then, how can Rabbi Eliezer say small mats and large mats are all the same thing? If they're made specifically for sitting, then it's a problem. What does it mean? Hachika Amar, this is what it means. Back in the Gemara. Stam asiyasa nami l'shchiva ad ovid l'sichuch. That it's assumed that they're made for shchiva until they're made specifically for schach.
So is stam the same thing as stam?
Yeah. So the way that Rav Papa is reading the Mishnah is something like this. Achas ketana v'achas gedoyla, whether it's a small one or a large one, they are asa asui l'shchiva and mekabeles tuma. It doesn't become an it depends statement. It becomes a statement of fact. Do you hear the way I'm reading it? You have to go through this corner a few times to be able to work this all out. It's a little complicated just to listen to. But what the Gemara is saying is, the Rapapa is saying, you have to read the Mishnah, you have to read the statement of Rabbi Eliezer as, not as an if, but a statement of fact. That all mats are the same, and they are made for sitting. If they are made for sichuch, then you can use it for schach.
That's why
Rabbi
Eliezer is kind of being, a chumrah.
So this last little piece, the Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan, Machazel shel Shipa v'shel Gemi." So that's the end of that conversation. So, you know, we should just—I don't want to stop here because I want to read the next piece. It's a very short piece, but let's just discuss what just happened in this Gemara. It's a fascinating Gemara. You know why? Because the Gemara had a Mishnah that, if you'll excuse me, didn't make any sense, and it really doesn't because of the logical contradiction. That's how we started. So the Mishnah has an inherent contradiction to it. And the question is, what does the Gemara do with it? So what's the answer to that? What did the Gemara do with this Mishnah? How do you explain it in the abstract? What did the Gemara do with this Mishnah?
Broke it down.
First it broke it down and tried to figure out if we can resolve it by adding some sort of limitation to one of the phrases. That's only talking about large ones. That's only talking about small ones. So the less you have to add to a Mishnah, the better. But you have to do something. So the Gemara worked it out logically, and if we didn't have a baye, by the way, then we could have worked it out in the exact opposite fashion. Are you with me on that? Rava said everyone agrees about large mats. The only machlokas is over small mats. How did we disprove that? Because a baye had a brisa. Had it not been for a brisa, all we would have had is a logical way to approach the contradiction. And that's what we would have gone with. But because Abaye had a brisa, the Gemara rejects Rava's logical differentiation. And says, okay, but we have a Masorah that says you have to work it out in this way. So we're going to tweak the Mishnah in a different direction, And the tweaking it is going to be the same. You're going to fudge something in this mission. You got to fudge something because the way it's presented is not logical. And the Gemara is satisfied based on the Braisa with tweaking it in the direction of Abaye. Rapapa just basically spells it out, how to read the Mishnah properly in that way. So you want to just go back to the Mishnah for a second? So the Mishnah itself is going to read like this. Machatzelis kanim gedoyla. If you have large mats, asal deshchiva mekabelas tuma ve'ein mesachachin bo. Not until it is made specifically for sitting, is it a problem? Large mats.
Large mats
are assumed for schach. The rabbanan, tanakama.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the starting point. L'sichach mesachachin bo. So you could read this in one of two ways. Either the Mishnah means the assumption is it's for sichuch and you can besachek with it. That seems to be the preferred explanation of the Mishnah. And that would lead you to the exact opposite reading in Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, Oymer, achas ketana v'achas gedoyla. Small ones are the same as big ones. They are asa'a l'shchiva and mekabel estuma v'ein mesachachin bo. They are assumed both to be made for shchiva. If it's specifically made, l'sichuch mesachachin bo. So the fudging is going to be identical in the Reisha and the Seifa. The fudging is that it's not if, it's that's a fact. Okay, so that's how the Gemara is going to be. Wants to be.
The Tanakhama is making more of a broader assumption with the
they're both making assumptions in different directions. Tanakhama holds, you know, big ones are for sure, and small ones are for sure, and the opposite. And Rabbi Eliezer says they're all the same. They're all for sin. It's a bigger chiddush, I think. Tanan Hasam, we learn elsewhere. Kol ha. No, I skipped. Sorry. Turn Rabbanan. Machatzela shel shiva b'shel gemi. You have mats made out of some. How did it translate? Benji, you have that translation over there? Last name. So shiva and gemi are some sort of natural material, whether it's like a papyrus type of thing, some sort of grasses, you know, something like that. So you have these mats made out of this natural ingredient, these grasses or whatever. Gedoyla mesachachin ba. If they are large, you can use them for schach. Kitana ein mesachachin ba. If they are small, you cannot use them. Okay, so the assumption is the big ones are used for schach, the small ones are used for sin. Shelkanim, if it's made out of reeds, veshelchilas, or something else like that of the similar sort. Gedoyla, if they are large, mesachachin ba. You can use them for schach. Aruga, okay, sort of grasses or yeah. Aruga is from the word ariga, which means to be woven. If they are woven, oh why? What kind of mats were we talking about until now? So now we're talking about probably more like the ones that we use today. There were a bunch of reeds or sticks or whatever that are just bound together. Somehow they're tied together. But aruga means woven. So woven means, number one, it's a thinner material. Because you can't weave sticks or reeds together. It's not going to work. So it's a thinner type, I mean, maybe thin reeds. You could, but whatever. Until now, we were talking about much thicker mats. Now we're talking about much thinner material. Ein mesachachin bo, you cannot use them for schach. So, makes sense. Because something which is woven is a much thinner material. Makes sense, it would be made for sitting. It's almost like looking at it, you know. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Oimer, Mishum Aviv, Achazu v'Achazu, Mesachachin Bo. No, it doesn't make a difference. Even if it's woven, you can use it for Schach. Achin HaRabbi Yossi, Oimer, Kedvar Rabbi Yossi said exactly like him. Not one word of explanation from the Gemara. It just finishes the K. That's what it is. So, again, you have to make some kind of assumption. What's it used for? Does it go by the kavanah of the person that made it? Does it go by the way it's being used? How it defines it as a mat for sitting? You're going to have to go back to the same issue, try to figure it out based on other explanations, not just the statistics or taking a survey. At the end of the day, what becomes the halacha lemaisa of all of these things? So, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch does deal with this. And in Shulchan Aruch, there is certainly a het there for mats. It's in Tuf Reish Lamed Tes Sif Vav. If they are large mats, then we generally assume that they are for schach, or at least absolutely can use them for schach, until they are somehow made specifically for sitting. And the Ramah says It goes by the minig hamakom, not by the kavana of the person that originally marketed it. So, that's the halach lemaisa of all of this. That's the bottom line of halach lemaisa. Anyway, but that's a... That is an interesting Gemara. Very technical Gemara, but we worked it through.